not to be repetitious, but today is the first day of Lent. On the first Sunday of Advent, just a few months ago, we had a sermon series that dealt with some of the names or titles of Jesus according to the prophecy of Isaiah, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You remember that? Well, today, as we begin Lent, we're going to stay with that idea of names or titles or descriptions that God gave to us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, before we get into this, I have a confession to make. I often forget names. Do you have that problem? I mean, it's embarrassing sometimes. We've had people that worship with us for years, and then they've moved out of the area, and then they come back and they visit and they walk in the door, and I think, I know that face. I know that smile. I recognize who in the world. What's their name? Has that ever happened to you? It's embarrassing, and it begs two questions. And the first question is, am I losing it? Yep. It goes with the territory. It's just, I have to fully accept that, if you understand what I'm trying to say. And the second question that it begs, if you don't know a person's name, how much do you really know about that person? Now let me apply that to this Lenten series. If you don't know the names of Jesus and what they mean, then how much do you really know Jesus? So let's get into it. For today, we're going to start with Moses. Moses was having a rather ordinary day. He was tending his sheep out there in a field by Mount Horeb. But his ordinary day did not stay ordinary. There was an angel. There was a burning bush. There was a voice that came out of the burning bush talking to Moses, telling him to go down to Egypt. Famous marching orders. And undoubtedly, you remember this part. In Exodus 3, verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I do go to the Israelites, and I say to them, the God of your fathers sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Why did Moses ask that question? Well, here's the answer. Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt. You remember the story? They were killing all the babies, and his mother put him in a basket and put him in the Nile, and he floated. And Pharaoh's daughter was the one that rescued him. Talk about God having a plan for your life. Only God could think of something like that. And she took Moses into the court, into the inner court, and he was raised as an Egyptian prince, and he became very familiar with the Egyptians' theology, which was many, many gods and goddesses who had influence on people's lives. Well, the Jewish slaves, the Hebrew slaves who lived in Egypt, learned that theology too, and they began to grow up and they began to accept it. Multiple gods with multiple names. So Moses wanted to be prepared when he talked to the Jews because they were going to ask him an inevitable question. Which God spoke to you, Moses? So Moses asked God for his name, but God did not give Moses a name. He gave him something that was more like a description. He said, I am that I am. I've often wondered if he said it that way, or if he said, I am that I am. That's the way it was in the movie, Ten Commandments. Like, I am that I am. I always thought that's how God said it. But maybe he did say it. I am what I am. I don't have no idea how he said it, but that's what he said. But he added something. This is what he said next. He said, this is what you were to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. With that name, I am, we have one of the foundation stones of our faith. God did not say, I was, even though he was. He did not say, I will be, even though he will be. But he captured all of time in those two words, I am. That's how great and wonderful he is, far beyond our ability to even understand it. And what a descriptive name, I am. Have you ever heard this? I've heard this many times. God created us in his image. So we did him the favor of creating him in our image. Have you ever heard that? Okay. That's what the Greeks did, for example. The Greeks built the statue of a man with a big beard sitting on a throne, and they named him Zeus. And Zeus supposedly married many women, had lots of wives, and lots of other children. And therefore, they called Zeus father. Blah, blah, blah. They created God in their own image. Now, ask yourself this question. Have I ever tried to create God in my image? Have you ever tried to create God in your image? Someone wrote a book called How Big Is Your God? And the premise of the book was, do you know God or do you just know about God? There's a big difference. It's a very important question to ask yourself. Do you know God or do you just know about God? It's really important. And how you answer that question determines how you respond to that question. For instance, if you say, yes, I know God, then your response is to worship him. If you say, well, I'm not sure that I know God, then your response is to seek him. Jeremiah 29 said that. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Can you say that you do that? Don't answer. I mean, I'm asking you to soul search. Do you do that? I know we all want to do that, but do we really, really do that? It's never too late, by the way, to seek God. Well, I said that if you do know God, the response to that question is to worship him. How? The appropriate response is to worship God with your whole being. Isn't that what the Bible says? With your whole being. But you know, I think some of us, I know some of us came from a background where we learned to worship God with our minds. And that was just about it. I love Presbyterians, but I am a former Presbyterian. For 70 years of my 80-some years, I was a Presbyterian. And we excelled in knowing God and worshiping God with our minds. The stuff about the Spirit, that's for other people. The stuff about with the body, that's for other people. I just want to be a student. The more I'll get to know him, the more I'll know him. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. We are to know God and worship God with our whole being. I mean, I'm going to get off on a tangent here. I better be careful, but There are churches all around us everywhere that are excelling in worshiping God with their bodies and their spirit. They're jumping up and down. They're raising their hands. They're shouting. They're all excited about God. But I question whether they have allowed their minds to get involved. And then there's people around who are the frozen chosen, who just sit on their hands, sit on the chairs. They're afraid to stand up and say hallelujah. Oh, I said I'm going off on a tangent. I'm going to get into trouble if I keep going here, but that's what I'm struggling with. Do you have any friends who say that they don't believe in God? They know about Him, but they don't believe in Him? I do. Do you have any family members who say, I know about Him, but I don't believe in Him? I do. Do you talk to those people about God? I do. And I hope you do too. I read about a Christian who engages non-believers in discussions about God, and he says to them, well, tell me, which God do you not believe in? Because I may not believe in Him too. I love that approach. Think about it. If you ever do engage someone in talking about God and who He is, it would be very helpful if you knew His name or His names and what they mean. I mean, when you leave here today, you're going to be asking a lot of questions. I'm a prophet. I know that you're going to be asking questions. Among the questions are these. How are the roads? What am I going to have for lunch? What's on the Olympics this afternoon? Will I watch? Or will I take a nap? Or will I do both? But will you ask yourself the far more important question, who is God to me? Who is God to you? Who is God to you? Wrestle with that question. Hallelujah, He is your Savior. Hallelujah. I didn't ask for you to answer, but I'm glad you did. I'm delighted that you did. Who is the great I am to you? And here's a follow-up question to that. What difference does it make in your life? Does it make a difference? God said something very profound to Moses. In addition to saying, I am, He said, I am with you. And that is the difference that it makes in your life. God is with you. That's what He said. In fact, He even said that He lives in you when you receive Him. Do you know that? Do you live like you know that? Having God, the God of all time, the I am, the God of miracles, the God of perfect love with you changes everything. Thank you for saying amen. I was about to ask you to say amen. Yeah, I shouldn't have to ask. I'm thinking about further about the statement that I am with you, and I have another confession to make. We often pray for people who have challenges in their life, right? And one of the cliches that I think many Christians have adopted is to say, our thoughts and our prayers are with you. Our thoughts and our prayers are with you. Or, Father, be with them. Those words can be very comforting and they can be very sincere. But I've often thought that it sounded just like something to say to encourage somebody. But did you really stop what you're doing and bow the knee and pray for the specific person and the specific need? There's a big difference than saying, you know, our thoughts are with you. It's like this. If someone were hungry and they came to you and they said, I'm hungry, you would feed them rather than saying, my thoughts and my prayers are with you. You see what I'm saying? But then I discovered that when you really ask the great I am to be with someone, the way he promised Moses he would be with him, that could actually be one of the most powerful prayers you could pray for someone. If you really mean it. There is no prayer need, there is no prayer request that he cannot bless if we just allow him to be with us. If we just open our hearts to him and allow him to be with us the way he wants to be. He wants to be with you. He hears you. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. He remembers you. But you have to open the door and allow him to be the Lord of your life. There is a portion of the story in Exodus 3 that's often missed. Before Moses asked God who he was, Moses had a different question in verse 11. He said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses was afraid. He was afraid of failing. That is the greatest motivator I know for inactivity. You're afraid of failing, so you do nothing. You back off. Let Harvey do it, whoever Harvey is. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt that way? Who am I to do that? Who am I? Have you ever been afraid of failing? And think about this. Here was God speaking directly to Moses, and Moses' first thought was, me, me, me. What about me? Have you ever done that? I have. I suspect all of us are guilty of doing that from time to time. And furthermore, I'm afraid that that's a lifestyle for some people. Me, me, me. Suppose you were to have a burning bush experience and God were to ask you to do something that was totally out of your comfort zone. Would you say, well, thank you, God, for asking me, but no thanks? Is that what you would do? What kind of army would God have if all his soldiers were like that, tucking their heads into their shells and digging a hole and crawling into that hole, afraid of their own shadow? Listen, if you ever find yourself doubting yourself like Moses did, remember that God is not only the great I am, but he promises to be with you. And you know how that worked for Moses. At least I assume you know how that worked for Moses. Ask God to go with you. Ask him to go with you into whatever you're facing. In fact, as I said earlier, he promises to live in you. God lives in you. Susan, God lives in you. Sue, God lives in you. Chris? God lives in you. You know that, don't you? You've known that for a long time. How long have you known Jesus? When did it become, in high school it became real? Is that what you said? Well,
when I say high school, the last 4 years.
Yeah. So you've known him for 90-plus, 100-plus years, right?
Right.
1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Holy Spirit dwells in your midst? The great I Am lives in you. Hallelujah. Don't shrivel in a corner, Christian, but put on the full armor of God. Hey, thank you. I think it's time to wrap this up. Now, we come to a dramatic story in John chapter 8. The religious leaders in Jerusalem are very puzzled about this young man named Jesus. They saw some of the miracles that he performed, or they heard about them. They heard about his teachings, or they actually heard some of his teachings and witnessed them. And all of that led them to ask, who are you, Jesus? Well, one day, according to John 8, Jesus said this to them. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Well, they couldn't believe their ears. So they said to Jesus, you're not even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus answered with this. He said, very truly I tell you, and before Abraham was born, I am. With that statement, Jesus equated himself with God the Father of all time. It says that the people were so incensed at his audacity that they tried to stone him to death. But he slipped away somehow, God's help, because it says his time had not yet come. But as we know, his time eventually did come when men tried to kill the great I Am. It's hard for me to imagine why God did not wipe us off the planet Earth when that cross was raised on Golgotha. But it was his plan. It was his gift. He showed us love far beyond anything any of us could ever know or ever will know. Ephesians 2:4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. And that salvation came to you from the great I Am. Let's thank him. Heavenly Father, we do not deserve your grace, your marvelous, marvelous grace. But we receive it. And I pray that as we have breath, we will live in such a way that others will come to know that grace. And Lord, we look forward to seeing your face and bending the knee and bowing the knee before you. Holy, holy, holy God. In thanksgiving, we pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.